for weeks now, we've heard analysts say, what about Ivory Coast? Why have we allowed Libya to absorb our attention completely when there is, in fact, another crisis going on in Africa? I'm sure that they were hoping to bring attention to Ivory Coast before there was any kind of humanitarian crisis. It is now too late for that. Thousands have reportedly been killed since November's elections, and aid organizations are saying that atrocities that possibly qualify as war crimes or crimes against humanity are now being committed by both sides of the conflict. UN civilian staff have been evacuated from the UN base in Ivory Coast, and there is a growing refugee crisis. Tens of thousands of people have fled into neighboring Liberia to the west, perhaps 85,000 or more of them. Joining us now, Mike Sunderland. He's the Africa Media Manager for Save the Children. And Mike, as I understand, you are actually close to a refugee camp there in Liberia.
Yes, I am. I'm basically at the main refugee camp, the only refugee camp currently set up for refugees from Ivory Coast into Liberia in Nimba County.
So what is your response to this number of 85,000 or more refugees? Does that seem credible?
Actually, I'd suggest actually that it's more than that. Maybe over 120,000 refugees have come from Ivory Coast into Liberia, and that just reflects the size of this humanitarian emergency, which it truly is. Over a million people have been displaced in Ivory Coast, and of course, from Save the Children's perspective, we're obviously incredibly concerned around the 500,000 children who are amongst those people. This is a humanitarian emergency with a particular problem for children.
Well, I mean, the refugees that are coming to that camp there and coming that you are seeing, what kind of condition are they in? Are you seeing injuries that are caused by gunfire or people who've been victims of the fighting?
You know, some of the saddest stories I've heard from the children who have made it to the camp are just of the terrifying journeys that they've had to take to arrive into Liberia and at the camp. I'm talking about children who could be as young as 8, 7, who've walked for 3, sometimes 4 days through searing sun, sleeping in dark forests with unsuitable clothes, just rags, no shoes, and very little or no food. Now, some of these children, amazingly, have even had to make this journey as young as that, sometimes on their own. Maybe their parents would have died in fighting before they left. Maybe they couldn't find their parents. They were separated in the journey of mass influx of refugees. And if there was something that sparked unrest or chaos during those people, then they can easily become separated. Stories like this are not uncommon in Barn Refugee Camp, and they're not uncommon amongst the people who are arriving, the children who are arriving into Liberia from Ivory Coast. This is an incredibly upsetting experience for them, and they need our support, and that's what we're trying to do at the moment.
That's Mike Sunderland, Africa Media Manager for Save the Children. He's speaking to us on Skype from Liberia. Also with us, Peter Pham, Director of Michael Ansari Africa Center at the Atlantic Council in Washington. Peter, I want you to take a listen to this exchange. This is Andrew Harden with our partner, the BBC, and he's speaking to a spokesperson for Alassane Ouattara, who seems to be discounting reports of massacres.
Today, Sunday, 1 week after the fight, we discover 162 people who died.
So far, but they're still pulling more bodies out of the bushes. I've seen that.
So I think that we call people to come here and make investigation, and after we can read together the conclusion.
So you deny that your forces were involved in any sort of massacre?
Our forces cannot be implied in any kind of massacre.
Peter, do we have any idea at this point who's responsible for the large number of deaths?
Well, from credible reports that we're getting out of the western part of the Ivory Coast from church groups like Caritas, the Catholic Aid Agency, and other independent groups, it appears to be, at least in the western part of the Ivory Coast, that largely the responsibility of the Republican forces, the former rebels from the north who are backing Mr. Ouattara, the internationally recognized president, who seem to have been responsible. In Abidjan, I think responsibility pretty much can be laid at the door both of the Republican forces as well as of the Young Patriots, the paramilitary youth loyal to former president, Laurent Gbagbo. So I think there's a division there. But I think the real question is the extent to which, and this is the question I think going ahead, the extent to which Mr. Ouattara, the internationally recognized president, actually controls the military forces that are supporting him. It's clear that his prime minister, Guillaume Soro, has a great deal more control than he does. He's been the longtime rebel leader, now the prime minister of the internationally recognized government. And so one really wonders about the political independence and authority that Mr. Ouattara is going to exercise if he indeed comes to power on the basis of this invasion of the South by the former Northern rebels.
Peter, let me just ask you, I mean, you heard Mike talking about how desperate the situation is for the people of Ivory Coast and the refugees, and people are expecting that to get worse as the forces move toward a confrontation in Abidjan, which is the seat of power in Ivory Coast. Why is there no talk among the United Nations or the international community about any intervention here?
Well, I think at this point, the United Nations is in some areas providing some shelter, but primarily to expatriates. A number, several thousand, have taken shelter at the UN base in Abidjan. Over the weekend, France reinforced its own independent force in the Ivory Coast to take control of the airport and facilitate their evacuation. But I think there's a lot of hand-wringing, and some of it is justified. Intervention is very messy, especially in an urban setting. And what we're about to face, I think, is a very – if there's a humanitarian emergency, like Michael said, along the Liberian border, an even greater one is being set up in Abidjan as the forces loyal to Ouattara have surrounded the city, while those loyal to Gbagbo, after reeling from the lightning strikes last week, have now regrouped. In fact, they've come out of their shelter. The army chief, Philippe Manjou, left his asylum in the South African ambassador's residence over the weekend, rejoined the forces, and seemed to have retaken several positions they lost in the initial days. So we're facing a fight for a capital with nearly 4 million people caught between the two sides.
That's Peter Pham, director of the Michael Ansari Africa Center at the Atlanta Council in Washington. And we spoke with Mike Sunderland, spokesperson for Save the Children, speaking to us from near a refugee camp in Liberia.